You're high on the frozen slopes of a great mountain, terrified and caught in a blizzard. The thing that you and your companions have been hunting has suddenly become the hunter. And if it finds you, then for you and your companions, there can be no escape. So listen now as we bring you the exciting story, The Abominable Snowman.
Our first bit of luck was when we hired our Sherpa guide, Nossong. That was in Darjeeling. When I told Nossong what we were after, he hesitated for a moment, and then he said,
"The Sahibs have not come to climb Jomaluma?"
"No, we're a little late for that. It's already been done. The other two Sahibs and myself are here for the reason I told you."
"Metokami?"
"That's right."
"The Sahibs always hire me to climb the mountain with them, but never this."
"Are you afraid of them?"
"I have seen one."
"You've seen one?"
"Yes, many of us have seen them."
"Wait a minute. Alan?"
"Yeah, what's up?"
"I'm interviewing a Sherpa in here. He says he's seen one of the things. Where's Frank?"
"He went out to get some supplies."
"Well, come on in. I think this is our man."
"All right."
"Nossong, this is Mr. Ferris."
"Hello, Nossong."
"Hello."
Nossong was telling me about what he'd seen. Go ahead, Nossong.
"It has a face that is evil, and when it saw me, it uttered a strange cry and bounded away, sometimes leaping, sometimes running with great strides. It was dusk, and after a moment, I lost sight of it in the snow."
"Where were you?"
"With the French expedition. It was at 19,000 feet on Jomaluma."
"How far were you from it?"
30 feet, perhaps 35.
"You're sure it wasn't an ape?"
"I am sure. There's no ape in the Himalayas to make such a track."
"What about bears?"
"This, too, I have been asked. But does a bear walk always upon its hind legs?"
"Well, that's enough for me. Alan?"
"Yeah, he'll do."
"Well, if you want the job, Nossong, you're hired."
"You're going to try to catch a yeti?"
"Yes."
"It will be a difficult thing, but I will serve with you."
Yeti, wild man, Metokami, abominable snowman. These are the names the natives had for the things, and Alan Ferris, Frank Davis, and I were going to try to get one. We'd all done some climbing, but climbing was secondary here. Expeditions since the beginning of the 20th century had heard of the abominable snowman, observed their tracks, and one or two American climbers have claimed to have seen them. Great ape, bear, monkey, wild man? We didn't know, but we were going to find out. 4 weeks later, we were in the Rangbok Valley for our interview in the monastery with the Lama. The journey from our base had been uneventful, the weather was good, and our spirits were high. From the Lama's window, we could see the great peak of Everest in the distance.
"Why, gentlemen, do you desire to capture a Metokami?"
"Because, sir, we believe it will be an invaluable aid in our prehistoric research. That is, if these things are in any way human."
"And for this reason, then, you have formed the expedition?"
"Yes."
"You are familiar with climbing?"
"Yes, we are."
"You would need to be. The Yeti move at high places, dangerous places, so my people tell me. Also, the monsoons are arriving in a short time."
"I understand that. Then, do we have your permission to investigate in the valley and beyond?"
"You have my permission."
"We appreciate it."
"There is one thing I must ask. I must request that no animal or being in this valley be shot. Our religion does not allow it."
"We will respect your wishes, sir. Now, may I ask you one more thing?"
"Of course, my son."
"Do you believe in the existence of Metokami?"
"I myself have never seen them, but I know that they live here, above the valley, on the goddess of the Mother of the World. It is also true that perhaps five and possibly more inhabit the Upper Rangbok and its glaciers."
"Oh, thank you."
"Do you have porters?"
"Our guide Nossong is hiring them now."
"Ah, I trust that he meets with good fortune."
The old man, with great dignity, bowed slightly to us and we were dismissed. But I thought I saw the shadow of a smile on his lips as he turned away, and it wasn't long before I found out why. Nasong returned to us in our quarters and his face warned of bad news.
Sir, I am unable to hire any porters.
Why? What's the problem?
They know the purpose of the expedition. They will not go.
Why?
They are afraid.
Of the snowman?
Yes. They live in peace with them. They wish no trouble. They are afraid.
Well, all right. It'll be rough, but we can't waste time talking them into it. The monsoons will be coming in a couple of weeks. It's not the same as climbing Everest. We'll travel light, just the four of us. Set up a base and start hunting. Is that all right with you guys?
Yeah. Okay.
Nasong?
I will go with you. I am not afraid.
Good. Now, let's take a look at the map. Now, we'll each carry a capacity load, and we should be able to make it to this point below the glacier in 2 days. That's 16,000 feet. And if our abominable snowmen are in the vicinity, we've got 2 weeks to find them.
And when do we start?
Tomorrow. Well?
Paul?
Yes, Frank?
One thing. What do the natives mean when they say they don't want any trouble with the things?
Oh, superstition, I imagine.
Oh, no, sir. It is not superstition. It is because the Yeti are cannibals. That is why the porters are afraid.
The weather turned ugly the day we left the village. A cold Tibetan wind blew down from the west, and with our heavy packs, it took us much longer than we'd thought to get to the point just below the Rongbok Glacier. We set up our camp and made ourselves as comfortable as we could. The next morning wasn't so bad, but it was overcast and threatening to snow. The peak of Everest, which loomed over us, was shrouded in clouds. The four of us sat in our tents, looking at our charts and drinking hot tea.
I figured it'd be easier if we started at the East Glacier. It's only about 3 miles from here. And with the weather as stinky as it is, we won't run into much of a risk. What do you think, Paul?
Well, that sounds all right. What do you say we split up? You and Nasong, Alan and me, we'll work on either side of the ridge. Here. And if we spot any tracks, fire 2 shots, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
And the big thing, no matter what, don't shoot at the thing if you see it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, if we lose touch with each other, we'll meet back here at 5. All right, let's get going. We'd left the base at 6 that morning, and the going was rough. Alan was pretty well shot by the time we got to the 17,000-foot mark. He was having a tough time breathing. And the wind had come up again, and with it a fine, powdery snow that blinded and choked us.
Hey, I gotta take a break.
All right. Here, move over here. It might cut some of the wind.
Whew, that's better.
Well, we might as well start back for the base. We can't see anything.
Right now, I really don't care whether we find the snowman or not.
Hey, this is good weather. Wait until the monsoons start.
Not me. Cold. I've never been so cold in my life.
We stayed in the half shelter of an overhang for about 10 minutes, and the wind was quieter and the snow had let up. I noticed the tracks we had made coming into the shelter were gone now, but we weren't worried about finding our way back. I figured that Frank and Nasong had met pretty much the same thing on their side of the ridge, and we'd meet them at the base, so Alan and I picked ourselves up and started off.
Boy, I thought I was in pretty good shape, but up here, man, I'm not. Oh, Paul, I'm tired again.
Okay, we'll just take it easy going down.
All right.
You think you've got frostbite?
No. No, not yet, but I...
What?
Look. To the left, over there.
Yeah?
There. They're not our tracks, are they?
Not unless you took your boots off on the way up.
It It must have just passed by. It must have seen us.
Yeah. Come on. We were looking at a set of tracks, newly made in the fresh snow, and they'd passed so close to our shelter that the thing must have known we were there. They weren't the tracks of a bear or an ape, but more like a splay-footed, naked foot. They were the tracks of the abominable snowman. We began to follow the tracks, and for a while, perhaps at 150 yards, it was easy. And then, the thing made a left or traverse down a steep slope. We could see the prints clearly, angling with a sidestep as sure-footed as a mountain goat, except that it was walking on two legs.
This way, Paul.
Take it easy, Alan.
Getting steeper. Man, that thing really can climb.
Alan, wait! Alan, stop!
I think the...
Alan dropped out of sight over the lip of the crevasse. We weren't roped together. I got as close as I dared to the edge. The loose snow crumbled away from my outstretched body, and I looked down into the blue-black darkness below, falling away into nothingness. He was gone. Alan was gone. All I could think of was the noise he made when he went over, surprised, angry, then silence. The crevasse might have been 500 feet or 5,000. Snow began to fall again, big flakes this time, and wet. I stood up. Across the gap, 20 feet away, I saw the tracks of the thing continuing on and away until they became lost in the blank whiteness of the glacier. It had jumped and landed still upright on the opposite side. I went back to the base, and an hour later, Frank and Nossong returned. I told them what had happened, and we were quiet for a long time.
Paul, are we going out again tomorrow?
Yeah, we need to keep going.
Yeah, okay.
We should go back. It is an omen.
Alan was chasing the thing, and he was going too fast. He didn't have a chance to see the crevasse. It's not an omen. It was just bad sense.
Metokami cannot be caught.
We'll catch him.
You sure about that, Paul? There's only three of us now. If we had a few more men, maybe...
I'm telling you, the thing was so close, if we'd looked up at the right time, we'd have seen it. Do you think I'm going to give up now? Next time, we'll get it.
There was no chance to get Alan out?
No.
Do you think if we went back, we...
Listen, you think I don't want to? He's gone. I tried to save him, but he's gone.
Okay, Paul. Okay. Wish that wind would let up.
Maybe by morning. We'll try again tomorrow. It was cold that night, and somehow it seemed colder because Alan was gone. I heard Frank tossing around, and I knew he was thinking about a body, broken and lonely, lost somewhere in a deep and dark place. In the morning, the three of us packed our gear, camera, and food. It was a light pack, and we started up again, this time to a crest above the ridge. It was tougher than it looked, and we weren't even halfway up before we had to rest. As I looked to the west, I saw clouds building up, not white, but somber and threatening. Below us, the valley looked grim, ugly gray, and then the sun was gone. And we kept on going up. And then I had a strange feeling. It was nothing I could see, nothing I could hear, only a sensation of being watched and followed. Wait a minute.
See something?
No.
I have felt it too, Sahib.
Something following us?
Yes. It is Metokami.
How do you know?
It cannot be something else this high. There is nothing else that lives here.
Maybe it's curious. No, don't turn around. Listen, when we get up to the crest, you two flop down and stay inside of the slope here.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to move around the hump and watch. If it thinks we're all together, it may come close enough to give us a chance to get it.
You better watch your step. It looks nasty.
I will. Now come on. It took us another 15 minutes to get up to the crest. Then Frank and Nosong hunched down to rest. They were in clear view of the slope we'd just ascended. I moved back out of sight and made my way toward the hump, which backed a long shelf on the north side of the crest. In a couple of minutes, I lost sight of them and of the slope. The wind had increased and the clouds had spread to become an iron gray canopy over the mountain. It was getting colder again. I don't think it took over 5 minutes to reach my lookout point. And when I did, I had a perfect view of the ground we'd covered. There was nothing there. The men were out of sight. I waited a minute, two, but there was nothing. Then, all of a sudden, it came, carried on the wind, a cry, and then shots. I scrambled back to where I'd left them, and when I got there, Frank was lying on his back, and I couldn't look at what was left of his face. There were terrible deep rips in his clothing, and he was dead. Nosong lay huddled a few feet beyond, holding a gun in his hand.
Sahib.
Nosong, what is it? What?
Metro Kami came from behind us. Before I could get hold of the gun, it killed him, then sprang at me. It is strong, Sahib, with the strength of 10 men.
All right. Can you sit up?
My leg, it is broken. I shot at it, but I missed. It jumped away and was gone.
We were 4 hours from camp, and with Nosong practically helpless, it could well be 4 days or never. I buried Frank where he was lying and then began to work down the slope. Nosong was in great pain. He half slid and crawled as best he could. That part of it wasn't too bad. Soon we were at the bottom, and there was a ledge to climb. It took well over 2 hours to do that, and we still had 3 miles of difficult terrain to cover. The stops became more frequent.
Sahib, leave me here. Go back.
No.
My leg is frozen. There is no feeling anymore. I shall not live much longer.
Don't be a fool. After a rest, you'll be able to go on.
Soon, the night comes. If we are both caught here, we both die. There will be snow. Much snow. Leave me.
No, we're going back together.
Please, let me sleep. Let me sleep here. I cannot go on.
You've got to, Nosong.
No. No more.
But the ridge is only about a half mile. From there, it won't be too bad.
No. No. Let me stay.
Nosong.
Let me sleep.
No. Come on, Nosong. Come on. You're not going to sleep. You'll be all right.
Sahib. Look. There.
What? I turned, and for an instant I saw it, outlined against the snow, crouching. Of medium height, it was covered with thick hair. The face was reddish and bare, a semi-human face, and it was not an ape. The thing made a tremendous leap and was gone, but I'd hit it. I knew I hit it.
Metro Kami, that was he. Did you kill it?
No, I don't think so.
Then it will be back. It has tasted blood. You must leave me.
No, get up. Get up. Come on, let's go.
I very sorry, Sahib.
Nosong? Nosong? And the darkness came, and with it shadows in the snow. Every hillock and mound became the thing, motionless, waiting, In my mind, I kept seeing its powerful long arms and the dreadful claws it must have possessed. I carried my gun in my gloved hand, but I knew that I couldn't fire it unless I was barehanded. And that meant my hand would freeze to the gun. And then, suddenly, I felt myself slipping. It was a short incline, but when I reached the bottom, the gun was gone. I'd lost it. Got to find it. I've got to find it. I saw a glint of metal in the snow 10 feet away, and at the same time above me at the top of the bank, I saw the thing. It stood swaying a little, looking down at me. I moved slowly, slowly, inched my way toward the gun, and as I drew closer, I kept my eyes looking up, but it didn't move. It stared down at me, and I thought I saw its eyes glittering, and I thought, if the gun's frozen now, and if it's frozen and doesn't fire, and I was near to it, near enough to take off my glove, but that moment in which I'd have to bend and pick it up, that's when it would leap down at me and tear my throat out. Tear, and I had the gun and pulled the trigger. It just laid there, strange and terrifying, its blood staining the snow. It looked at me. It was dead. But the eyes kept on staring. It must have been the shots that loosened the snow and ice on the ledge above. I heard the sound and I ran. The avalanche passed me and swept on down toward the valley, the thunder of it dying in the distance. When I went back, there was nothing there. It was buried, somewhere under tons of snow. I made my way back to the Rongbok village. I don't remember how. I didn't remember anything for 2 weeks. But I'm alive. And I'm not going back there again. That's all I know, or want to know about the abominable snowman.